Book of 1 Kings, I want to read to you from chapter 19. I'm just going to read two verses to begin with, but we are going to be kind of talking about this story of Elijah and kind of working through chapter 19 as we go. If you're there, say amen. Verse 3. Then he, being Elijah, was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Jesus, we love you. And I'm so grateful that we get to come together and we get to worship a living God. Thank you for your presence that's been in the room today. Lord, I ask that you would open up our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to hear from you and to be challenged by the power of your word. Lord, I'm confident that this word I'm delivering today was not of my own knowledge or understanding, but it came straight from the throne room of God. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elijah is one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. One of the greatest men in the Bible. If you read it from cover to cover, he is one of the top, you know, three or four guys in Scripture. And he's just come off one of the most amazing victories in the Old Testament. He went up against 450 of the prophets of Baal. You may have heard our bishop talking a little bit about the story just a few weeks ago. He went up against these prophets, and it was him versus them, and God showed up, and Elijah wins, and he kills 450 prophets. Then he prayed for rain, and the rains came. And you would think that he would be on a high, that he would be ready to keep the momentum going, that he would be ready to take on hell with a water pistol, but instead, he's not. Not Elijah. He's tired, and he is weary, and he is now running for his life. And it's so bad. He went from the highest high to he's at such a low place that he literally prays, "God, take my life." His picture seems cloudy. He's lost the ability to see the truth of the situation that he's in. He feels all alone. Elijah needed a break. I am a huge sports fan, if you don't know that about me. I watch just about any kind of sport if I have the time. I'll watch just about anything. I've been trying to watch the World Cup. I want to be a cultured person. It's the most popular sport in the world. I'm trying to watch it. I don't understand it. I mean, it seems very simple. Kick the ball in the net, but they do things that don't make any sense to me. Just kick the ball at the net. Why do we have to go 27 minutes without anybody even kicking it at the net? Isn't that the point? But, I'm trying to get there. So I've been watching USA plays today, so I'm going to be trying to watch that this evening. But I like sports. One of the things I like about sports is in almost every sport, soccer, football, basketball, and others, halfway through the game or somewhere in the course of the game, you get a break. You get a halftime. You can be getting the tar beat out of you, and you get a break. You can be winning the game big, and you get a break. The game can be tied or close, and you get a break. Everybody gets a break because all players and all teams, they need that halftime. They need that chance to regroup before they finish. If they're behind, it's a chance to look at your game plan and make adjustments. It's a chance to make changes to what you've been doing wrong. It's a chance to look at the film and figure out what your opponent is doing. If you're ahead, it gives you a chance to re-energize. Gets you a chance to retape your ankles or your knees or whatever else might be going on. It's a chance to capitalize on what you're doing right and fix what's not working. And I'm confident of this. The greatest coaches in every sport are masters of halftime adjustments. They're masters at going in at a halftime and regardless of the score, figuring out how to come out and make adjustments to put their team in the best position to win. Go through any of the Hall of Fame coaches and they all did that. They all have great records of coming back in the second half because they can make adjustments. Elijah needed a halftime. He needed to regroup. He needed to re-energize. He needed to get a new plan for the next season of his life. He had all these great things happening, but now he's down, and he needs a new plan. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Every season has a purpose, and every purpose has a season. And Elijah got caught up in this place where he forgot about what season he was in, and he forgot about what his purpose was, and he needed a break. He needed a halftime. As I go through my life, I'm continually trying to discover the purpose of the time and the season that I'm in. I'm trying to move forward and get something done because I recognize that I only have so much time on this planet and I don't want to repeat any unnecessary seasons. Some of them I wouldn't mind repeating, but there's a lot of them that I just don't want to do that again. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, I've got the scar, that's enough. And so I'm continually trying to figure out what is the purpose for the season that I'm in? What am I supposed to be accomplishing? If you're in a season and you seem to be stuck, ask yourself, God, what are you trying to do to me here? Let's go ahead and get this figured out because I'd like to move on. And so I'm continually saying, God, what are we doing? There are times when I feel like I'm winning, but the devil won't give me anything. A few weeks ago, you may have seen my post on Instagram. We preached in Beaumont, had a great service, came over here, great baptismal service. My wife said, we're going to Mazio's, so we go to Mazio's, and they forget our order. They kept bringing us, there's four people at the table, and they kept bringing us a small Supreme pizza and saying, is this your order? No. So literally, like four waiters later and an hour and a half later, they bring us our pizza. I am starving. You know, we get out of service at 12:30 now. So it's now like 3 o'clock. My body says it's time to eat at like 11:40. About right now, actually. So I put my pizza on the plate. And I go to put my crushed red pepper, you may have seen this, and the lid pops off and the whole thing, my whole plate fills up. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, the devil won't give me anything. We had great church today and he's just trying to ruin the rest of my day. Have you ever felt like that before? You see, things seem to be going well, but the devil is not going to let it go. He just can't. He can't. And so you look up and you get one victory, and then he starts trying to back you up with little things and just pestering you. Did the crushed red pepper ruin my day? No, but it just bothered me. And then I got all you health nuts saying, put the pizza down. That's the Lord saying you shouldn't be eating that fat stuff anyway. While you were shoving a cupcake in your mouth. He has to battle me after every victory because that's what he does. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but it's the old saying that says, two steps forward and then one step back. Do you ever feel like your life functions that way? Two steps forward in the right direction, we're getting somewhere, and then you get knocked back. Or maybe it's opposite for you. One step forward and two steps back. And you look up and your life seems to be going backwards because the devil has you on your heels and he's pushing and he's pushing and he's pushing. I have a great life. I have no complaints. God has been good to me, as I know he has to many of you. But whether you're winning or whether you're losing, everybody needs a halftime. When you're looking for a direction or a word from God, when you need wisdom from on high, when you need the Holy Spirit to help you, maybe you're in a place like Elijah and you're just exhausted. You know what? Losing is exhausting. It is no fun getting beat. But winning is exhausting too. It just has a delayed effect. We get all pumped up with adrenaline because things are going well. But when the adrenaline wears off, we come crashing down. And that's exactly what happened to Elijah. He was all pumped up with his victory, but when the adrenaline wore off, he was underneath the tree praying to die. We feel guilty for being tired because everything is so good. We got to keep the momentum up, but we're exhausted physically. We're exhausted emotionally, and we're exhausted spiritually. Elijah couldn't get his next step because he couldn't handle it yet. Let me ask you this question. What if you've been struggling to get direction in your life? What if you've been struggling to get the word that you need? What if you've been struggling to get the breakthrough that you need because God knows you couldn't handle it right now? It's not that he's mad at you. His silence is not because he's upset with you or that you've done something wrong. It's just that you are not in position to receive it yet. He can't give you the next season of your life. He can't give you the next purpose because you can't physically, emotionally, and spiritually handle it. What if I'm asking a question and praying for a solution that might break me if he gave it to me? And then I'm mad at God and he's saying, I want to answer your prayer. But if I do, it'll break you. Elijah was praying to die. God couldn't say to him, while you're praying to die, instead, go out and conquer some kings. He couldn't do that. Because he had to wait for Elijah to get into position where he could hear the word that God wanted to speak to him. What if God's not mad at you at all, but he just wants to position you? Elijah couldn't handle it. He needed a halftime, and some of you may as well. It's June. Summer is here. I'm not sure if you got the memo, but it is hot outside. School's ended. New Year's resolutions are a distant, fading memory. The year is getting away, but have you done what you set out to do? Have you gotten out of debt yet? Have you bought that house that you've been wanting? Did you read that book? Did you ever make it to the gym after you bought the membership? Have we moved our life forward with the things that we wanted to do this year? The year's half over, but it's not too late. We need a halftime. So I want to take you through what God does to help Elijah. And now, at first, you're going to think, why are you talking about this, Pastor Randy? This is not spiritual at all. But it is straight out of the Scripture. And I believe it is a word from God for us today. Okay? So bear with me, because you're going to think, you know, you're not even talking about like prayer and fasting. No, I'm not. First thing that God does with Elijah, we see in verse 5. Let's read verse 5 through 8. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake based on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he rose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. Notice what he said in verse 7. The journey is too strong for you. In the condition that you're in, you won't make it. I can't send you into your next season. I can't send you into your next purpose. I can't send you on your next mission because it's too much for you right now. So the first thing that he did was Elijah got away. He got away from other people. He left his servants in verse 3. He was in no position to hear his next job. He wasn't strong enough for the journey. So he got away. I want to challenge you this summer to figure out how you can get away even for just a couple of days. This is what Elijah does. He got away from everybody else. Everybody needs a vacation. You need a vacation from your life. You need a vacation from your kids. Oh, felt the Holy Ghost right there, didn't you? Everybody needs a vacation. You say, well, Pastor Renan, I don't have any money to go anywhere. I understand. You need a staycation. Kids can go to somebody else's house, and you stay home. Take a day off of work. Take 2 days off of work. Something. Take a Friday and Saturday. Whatever it is, whatever you can do, but you need a chance to get away just for a couple of days. You don't have to stay a month. You don't need a two-month vacation. You don't need to, like, travel the world and go see all the eight wonders or however many wonders we have left in the world today. You don't need it, but you do need to get away just for a little bit. The first thing that God had to do with Elijah is he had to get him away. Because there's something to be said for getting removed from the situation you're in so that you can get recharged. It gives you perspective. And so Elijah had to get away. That's the first thing that he did. When my family was young, when I was young, we were first starting this church. We didn't have lots of money. The church was very small. Everything we did was going back into building this place that we all are able to worship in now. And my parents made a lot of sacrifices for us, for this church to get it going, especially early on. And so what we would do, because we would always put our guest up at the Holiday Inn right over here, they would, you know, probably, I guess Dad sent my mom because she's a wheeler and a dealer, if you don't know that about her. But somehow they would give us a room for a couple of nights right here at this hotel for like really, really cheap. And we would go, and our whole family, it was like we were going to Disney World, but we were right there. Like, we never left the city limits. And yet we would swim in the pool, eat watermelon around the pool. We would invite our friends. My cousins would come, and it was like a big pool party. And they're like, I thought you were just going to stay for a night. No, we were like having vacation. My dad was very serious, and he is even to this day, about figuring out a way. We have to get away just for a couple of days. And don't let money be an object to keep you from just pulling away just for a moment. Even, okay, I can't travel the world. That's fine. I understand there are circumstances outside of, you know, our immediate control. But do something to get away. Can I get an amen this morning? All right, because now it's about to get really good. The second thing that Elijah does is Elijah takes a nap. It's really not complicated, and it's straight from the scripture. He laid down under the broom tree and he slept. When was the last time you just slept? It wasn't like, I'm going to sleep and I got to get to bed on time because the alarm's going to go off because I got to do this and I got to make kids' lunches and I got to get to work and I've got to go here and as soon as we get. But when was the last time you just slept to enjoy sleeping? I got to tell you, I love Sunday afternoon naps. How many of you are a Sunday afternoon napper? I fall asleep so deep at times that I have to check my own pulse. I will be laying there dead asleep and about half come to and think, okay, I'm still here. But Lindsay and I are very different because when I go home, I want to crash. I want to but Lindsay's not that way. Lindsay goes home and while I'm sleeping, she likes to press through. So I'll take a, you know, hour, 2 hour nap, you know, 4 hour nap, whatever we can get in there. But Lindsay's not that way. Lindsay wants to press all the way through. So she's going to like clean the house and get things done. And about the time I'm waking up, she's saying, the kids are yours. Good night. And she'll go to bed at like 6:30. Not wake up till Monday. She's just like, but that's the way she is. She loves to sleep like a long time, go to bed early. That like makes her very happy. And I'm thinking like, I'm wasting away all the good hours of the day between like 6 and 10. That's like the best hours of the day. Not her. That's good sleeping time right there. But here's the truth. Everybody needs rest. You know, you ever stop and think about how tired you really are? And we're masking it with coffee and 5-hour energy and Red Bull and discipline. But the truth is we're just flat exhausted. You don't believe me? Try to go through a day without your coffee and your caffeine or your Cokes or however else you're getting your energy. And you'll realize that we're masking a problem that we're just flat exhausted. So we need a nap. Your body was intended to need and require sleep and rest. My first job, my first real job, I was pouring concrete for Henry Labrie when I was a young kid, and he put me working with these Hispanic guys, and they were really, really hard workers, and they taught me a lot. But one of the things they did, and I learned to really love, was they would eat lunch like really quickly. I mean, it was like 10 minutes and they were done, and then they would sleep for 50 minutes. And at first, I'm sitting there like by myself twiddling my thumbs in the 100-degree weather while they're sleeping, and I'm like, you know, we didn't have much conversation anyway because they were speaking Spanish and I didn't understand it, but at least there was life going on. And now I'm just sitting here by myself. I'm 12 years old and I'm at a job, and I'm 13 years old. I don't even know where I'm at. But then I decided one day I'm going to try that little nap. It was like heaven on earth. I was ready to go at it again. Man, I woke up. I decided I liked eating lunch with those guys better than eating lunch with my bosses, because they went and ate a big lunch and I would come back to work needing a nap but having to work. Those guys had it figured out. They ate a light lunch and took a nap and they were ready to take on the day. I know it seems simple and silly and not very spiritual, but your spirit man needs physical energy to function at its peak. Third thing, it's going to get less spiritual right now. He ate a cake. Y'all were waiting on that, weren't you? He ate a cake. He woke up, and the angel baked him a cake and gave him some water, and he ate it, and he went back to sleep. Now, that sounds like a good summer plan right there. Eating cake and sleeping, waking up and repeating. But this was literally God's plan to re-energize Elijah in this time. Is you need to eat something. You need to enjoy some food here. And he made him a cake. Now, he could have said he made him bread, but he didn't. He said he made him a cake because he wants you to enjoy it. Listen, go home, go to lunch today, order a dessert after lunch. And when your spouse looks at you crazy and said, "Hey, if Elijah needed a cake, I need a Cookie Monster." Bake a cake this summer. Have some fun. Go to a barbecue. Eat a watermelon. Whatever it is. Take your kids out for ice cream one day. Something. But get some enjoyment and some substance in your life, some energy. You need fuel. It's not just about eating a cake, but it really is about refueling your body and eating properly. He got up, he ate, and he drank again, and he repeated this, and now he's ready for his journey. He now had the energy he needed to get in position to receive from God. At this point in the story, in verse 8, God has still not spoken anything to Elijah about his future or his plan. All he's done is re-energize him. What happens next? God's ready to speak to him. Under the broom tree, Elijah wanted to die. So God has to get him strong. He gets him strong for the journey, and he takes him to a cave. In the Hebrew, the word cave here is a very specific cave. Notice the mountain that he went to. He went to Mount Horeb. There is a strong contingency of theologians that believe that the word cave actually means cleft. And the place that God brought Elijah to was the same cleft in the rock that God brought Moses to when he revealed himself to him. Now, what's the point? The point is that Elijah had to get in position to hear from God. It's tough to hear from God when you're in the middle of the battle. He had to get in position to hear from God. You know, it's easy to stay at home from church during the summer, but church is one of the best and most consistent places that God can and will speak to you. He'll speak to you anytime, anywhere, but this is one of the easiest places to hear from God, right here. So I challenge you, go on vacation, take a nap, eat a cake, whatever it is, but get back to the house of God, because when you're strengthened, now you're positioned and you're ready for God to speak to you. So get in a place where God can speak. God took Elijah back to a place where he had already spoken before, and God wants to speak to you. Don't get too far away from the house of God. Again, I don't mean to imply that he can't speak somewhere else, but you need to position yourself to hear from God. When Lindsay and I come to church on Sundays, most of the time, obviously, I'm preaching, and it's difficult for me to be preaching and hearing all at the same time, though I do work very hard on that. But I'm here to give more than I am to receive. So this week, one of the things that Lindsay and I are doing, we do every summer, is we pack up, send our kids off actually they're going to kids camp this week, and we're going to Dallas for a conference. And we're going to sit and we're going to receive. We're going to position ourselves to hear from God. And if I need it, I know that you need it as well. I'll be sitting in church this week. It happens every time. We'll go, and it's not always about the preaching being good. And I'll be tapping away on my phone, and God will be speaking to me, and I'll be like dancing on the front row. Ooh, that's good. I feel that. And Lindsay will be like elbowing me, like, what are you doing? And, you know, he's not even saying anything. I'm like, he's not, but he is, so leave me alone. Because I'm in position to hear from God. That's what Elijah had to do. Once he was strengthened, he got into a place where God could speak to him. Go on vacation, do what you need to do, but get back to the house of God so God can speak to you. God asked him in verse 9, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Watch what he says. Verse 10, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." God asked this question, and Elijah gives him his response. This is Elijah's chance to vent. "I've been jealous for you, God." Translation, "I've been serving you faithfully, and look what it's gotten me. I am left, and they are trying to kill me." Translation, "I feel all alone, and they are literally trying to kill me." "The people have forsaken your covenant." Translation, "There is no hope because they are all following Baal, even after Mount Carmel, where you showed up strong and mighty. They're still not following you. All hope is lost." In this moment, Elijah did not need better theology. He needed an experience with God. Now, I want you to watch the pattern of how God works with Elijah, and I believe he's going to do the same for you. He strengthened him first. Then he got him to a place where he could speak to him. But before he actually spoke to him, he wanted Elijah to experience him. One of the reasons that I want you to get back into the house of God, if you're watching online and maybe you've gotten away and life got busy, I understand. But one of the reasons we have to get here is because you need to experience God. And it is often right at the end of the experience that God speaks. Why do we worship first and then preach second? Because it prepares an atmosphere. And once we've experienced Him, we're ready to hear from Him. God is a master at knowing when we need answers and when we need to experience Him. And so I want you to get in the house of God because I want you to experience His presence. God showed Elijah where he was not first. He said a strong wind came, but God was not in the wind. An earthquake came. God could have been in the earthquake, but He wasn't. The fire came. He could have been in the fire, but He wasn't. But then, he came in a still small voice. Because Elijah didn't need to duplicate the dramatic manifestation like was on Mount Carmel. He just needed to listen to the still small voice. God asked him again now. Now God has his attention. He's experienced all this stuff. He's standing outside of the cave. And he says, "Why are you here?" And Elijah gives him the same answer, almost verbatim. But now that Elijah has answered, God begins to respond to Elijah's request. Elijah's been exhausted, tired, praying for death, couldn't get a clear view of his future, thought it was all hope was lost, thought he was all alone. Why even do this anymore? But God got him strengthened first. He got him away. He got him away from the noise. He got him away from other people. And he got him to a place where he could speak to him. He let him experience him first. And now he's ready to speak. And God says, now that you've experienced me and you're ready to hear from me, I want to give you a job. You thought your job was over. It's not. Here's your next mission. Go and anoint 2 kings. He said, I want to give you a friend because you think you're all alone. You're not. You're going to go anoint Elisha, and he's going to be with you. He's going to stay with you, even to the point, all the way, when everyone else leaves, he's going to stay with you. And when I take you out of this place on a chariot of fire, Elisha will be standing at your side. You'll never be alone again. He said, I'm going to give you hope. Because not only will Elisha be your friend, but he will be your successor. And after you're gone, your ministry will continue. And then he said, oh, by the way, you thought that you were by yourself. You thought that nobody was following me. You thought that it was you and you alone. But I want you to know that there are 7,000 that are bowing their knees to me right now all across this country. You are not alone. Here's what he says to Elijah. The 7,000, it wasn't because of the big miracle that happened on Mount Carmel. It was because you were going from city to city and town to town, and you were declaring the works of the Lord. You were busy preaching the word like you were supposed to, and that was making an impact on people. It wasn't Mount Carmel. It was his day-to-day ministry. You were making a difference, and you're not alone. You're not alone. You see, we want a move of God, and we want big manifestations. And I do, and I pray for them. And I believe we're going to see them even next week. I believe we're going to see the miraculous. But what you have to understand is that Mount Carmel did not fix Israel. And a Mount Carmel experience will not fix this country. What we need is we need people like you to be real Christians, to love God, and to preach the word, and to do what you're called to do, to share your ministry, to share your life, and you're going to look up, and it won't be the big manifestation, but it will be what God has been doing every day in your life. You are the walking miracle. It's you. You're how God wants to reach your world. Now, I want you to understand me very clearly. I am praying for God to move. I am praying for God to show up. I am praying for an increase in the intensity in the presence of God. I'm praying for big manifestations. But you remember when we were preaching on hell and how when Lazarus was in hell, he said maybe if there was a miracle, maybe even if someone was raised from the dead. But Abraham said, not even if someone was raised from the dead will they believe. Because it's not just another miracle. This country has had multiple great awakenings. It's had multiple revivals. And believe me, I'm praying for another one. It will help, but it's not the solution. You're the solution. It's the Jesus in you. That's the solution. It was Elijah going and doing his job every day. That was the solution. We need God to speak to the hearts of men. We need believers to live out the word of God. We need Christians to be Christians Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday. Have you spoken to an unbeliever about Jesus lately? Have you prayed with somebody that was hurting lately? Have you invited someone to church lately? God had all the answers that Elijah was looking for. But he needed Elijah to get in position to hear them. He still had plans for Elijah. And I want you to know that you may be exhausted physically, emotionally, spiritually. You may not know what your plan is, what God wants to do with you. You may feel stuck. You may feel like it's 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 1 step forward, 2 steps back, wherever you are. You may be winning, but just exhausted because you've been working hard and God's been good, but you're just worn out. But I want you to know that he still had a plan for Elijah and he still has a plan for you. He's got the answers that you're seeking. He's got the solution that you need. He's got the resources. He's got a word. He's got direction. He's got dreams and visions. But are you in a place where you need a halftime? You need a break for a moment to get away.